Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Today's episode is going to be called Let's Build a Community. Doing another live episode here. Today's Sunday, April 2nd, 2017. We've been away for a couple of weeks. Myself and Corey have been traveling on two separate occasions. So we do apologize for that. We're going to try to make it up to you here. The purpose of this show is actually to begin a series of conversations or discussions regarding not only sustainability, but how to apply that in a community-based setting. And when I say community, I don't mean a neighborhood or a group of people interspersed throughout a town or a city. I literally mean an actual intentional community on one piece of land with separated living places in a communal or group convention center, workshop, so on and so forth. It's sort of the idea that I have in my mind as soon as I'm able to acquire a piece of land, which I'm currently looking for, in order to build a family, settle down, and make a sustainable impact on the planet through information awareness and a couple other things that we're going to talk about today. Okay. So the lines are open if anybody wants to call in. The call-in number is 888-429-5471, Station 2. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, at some point if you wanted to add something to the conversation or maybe there's a domain that we missed regarding community life, please feel free to chime in and just call us up and we'll go from there. With that being said, I'd like to also welcome back Corey, my co-host. Just excellent person, wonderful points of view, and just has been rock solid and consistent throughout this past year of piercing the veil. And Corey, I just wanted to say on the air, I appreciate you for that. Thank you very much, and welcome back to the show.
Ditto to you, man. I really appreciate you, and you know, I enjoy this work, man. It's been good for me, and hopefully, be good for other folks as well. That's my goal.
I see it going places. We've built our foundation. I have a few things in the works that we'll discuss off air as well regarding potential sponsorship and things like that. And generally all around how we can contribute to the alternate media. You know, and most people don't realize that our producers at BBS Radio do a lot of work and sustain a lot of flack from different agencies to help maintain shows that are like ours. And obviously everything's unique, but there's a lot of metaphysical or extra-sensitive topic shows that are being supported by these guys. So anything that we can do to get the word out there, bbsradio.com, you can have your own show if you like, listeners, if you're feeling up to it. Or just continue to listen to us every week at 5 p.m. Central. Okay. All right, so that's being said, you know, I explained a little bit about what this is for, but I want to say that these community sessions or Let's Build a Community sessions are going to be used as a record. Essentially, I'm actually going to look back, listen, derive all the important topics and the things I think that need to be touched on when I'm actually building my plan once I've acquired a piece of land. So this stuff is not just something that we're discussing. It's something I intend to actively put into practice, if at all physically possible. Okay. So what are a few things that we could do? Well, you know, like a complete recycling of rainwater on the property and showing people how to do it themselves. Perhaps a gray water system. I mean, that's real popular. A lot of people know about that. Hey, Corey, here's an idea that most people don't think about. In Peru, there's an actual billboard that acts as an evaporative cooler. So over the course of the evening through the morning dew and then as the sun heats up during the day, the structures or membranes inside this billboard, inside, mind you, not the outside part, but inside of it, are designed to collect and harvest rainwater, let that gravity feed all the way down the pole or the support, and then into a filtration system whereby it comes out, and the citizens have free filtered water. There's no going to Whole Foods or Sprouts or paying for a five-gallon thing, none of that shit. It's free. And it's from the air and filtered.
Yeah, and that's not rainwater water. Actually, it's condensation.
Condensation.
Nice, just pulling it out of the air. I mean, that's, you know, that's some clever work right there.
And that's even
an intelligent people, group of people who,
that's right,
got together, came up with an idea. They probably had to get permission from the municipality or something like that, or maybe they were within the municipality or something. You know, that's good work. That consists of, or that comprises, good community to me.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the exact type of values or principle orientations that we are looking for from people who would build this type of thing. We want people who are ingenuitive and can think of on multiple fronts. So these people were like, I think they actually owned the billboard at some point. They bought out some old billboard. But they were thinking, oh, let's market ourselves, whatever we're doing. Oh, and at the same time, let's help the community. And everybody who comes to get help from the community, who is who we're marketing to, will see our marketing and then know that this is us doing this and then be more willing to come check us out. Or if this is on our location, they're already there, they're going to come check us out and say, hey, great idea. Thanks for the free water. We love your business model. We're invested in your model already emotionally, and therefore we want to see what else you've got.
Perfect. Perfect.
So, yeah, and in business, I see a lot of waste, especially in overhead. One business A, is doing the standard business model, which is get a whole shit ton of loans and run high operating costs every day and hope to bejesus that you break even or make some sort of turn a daily profit from your profits or whatever. And the other business B, is completely green. Gray water recycling, wastewater recycling, all of their cups, plates, bowls, everything they give to the customer, everything's recyclable or reusable. Or reused for that matter. They're running on solar. They have hot water from solar heating their elements. They've got, you know, some sort of renewable gas, propane, or something like that. You know what I mean? And this business has no overhead, little to none. You know, you've got HR and benefits and employees and shit like that. But for the most part, if you ever want to scale up, you can do so easily without incurring the extra infrastructure or basic costs that requires a business to maintain in today's statutory or permitted world, if you will, with regulations and whatever. So if you're able to basically take a huge chunk of your monthly or daily operating cost out of the equation completely and then operate in an efficient, super sustainable manner that helps the community and gets them emotionally invested in your business model, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to use the land as a workshop village and also have a vegan restaurant on there as well. We'll talk about some of that stuff later. But working smarter, not harder, really is a thing. It's not just some silly, catchy, corny thing that your parents told you about when you're younger. If you work smarter, you work harder at getting more money, and you work less at doing the physical labor and the other things to make that money. Okay, they go hand in hand. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. Corey, what would you describe as what values would a person hold dear that really would be oriented towards this type of thing? I know that we run in a lot of similar circles, and I wouldn't call them new agey, but loving and open and planet and sustainability oriented circles. What is your thoughts on that? Who is the ideal person or group of people for you, I should say?
I don't really think there is one necessarily, and let me explain what I mean. I interact with lots of different kinds of people on a day-to-day basis. I happen to live in a community where the majority of the population is over the age of 60. It's kind of like a retirement community, very small town. You know, during the winter season when the snowbirds come down, when it's too cold in the north, they come down. The population of the area is like 1,500. And then around this time, they start filtering back to places that are cold in the winter but are mild in the summer. Gets a little hot down here. So there's this regular migration. But so there's a lot of folks here who are over 60. A lot of them have, they're migrants, so they have other home somewhere else. They have second home here. Most of them are retirees. Most of them are, you know, fairly well-to-do. I mean, you don't need to be a, you know, you don't need to be a multimillionaire to have two homes in two different places. But, you know, they're pretty smart. They come from all different parts of the country and Canada, typically. All those northern climes, Illinois, Minnesota, Montana, BC, stuff like that. And there's a lot of, it's an interesting mix of people, and they are, for the most part, pretty accomplished individuals. And they just happen to have fallen in love with this little funky town 20 miles north of the border. And, you know, the land out here is beautiful. It just, for some reason, has attracted this group of people. That being said, they're all pretty smart. I think everybody is, and not just around here, but I think anyone with half a brain in the world now or in the U.S. is pretty much aware that shit is starting to go a little haywire. You know, it's pretty much everyone is coming to that awareness. Not everyone, but more and more people. The problem that I see is that it's that a lot of people are just waking up. It's the difficulties of of just coming to the realization, like, everything's not how I believed it was, how I lived it, how it was told to me.
They've been living in the center of a hurricane, in the eye of the storm, their whole life, in a bubble of deceit, and they finally hit the shit that's really out there.
Right.
And
now we're moving.
They got to pass through to the outside to safe waters first.
Exact. So you know, there's Dems, there's Democrats, there's Republicans, a whole different mix. You know, I'm in Arizona. It's a predominantly Republican state, but there are pockets of I don't know, left or more progressive, liberal, I'm not speaking pejoratively right now, although sometimes I do when I use those terms, admittedly. So that's the thing. People are starting to wake up. Now, this particular group, and I'm starting to formulate a way that I can do more outreach. You know, I have conversations with folks, but I'm looking to do so in a way that perhaps is a little more organized. You know, maybe just open forums on certain, you know, on the state of the world and so forth and how it affects us, you know, much of what we do on this show. I'm looking to be able to push a little bit more into that on the ground here where I'm at. And, you know, the thing is that you talk about community, your project, for instance, there's a community garden here. Okay. And the purpose generally behind the community garden was the idea of community, for people to get together and galvanize around a particular concept or activity, you know, more of like a social interaction, more on the social side. But also, they're growing food, which has a very practical side, and for any number of reasons, you know, getting your hands in the dirt and being able to care for something and bring it to fruition, literally, and to be able to benefit from that.
But the point is that what that you're making is that they're doing something useful and they're competent. And let me do this. The original question was, is there anybody that you would pick or anybody that, who's your ideal people? You answered there's not really an ideal people. But honestly, well, at some certain level, there are certain traits and physical attributes that you would prefer.
No,
I'm
you're
just
right.
going to
All
take
right.
a shot in the dark here and say this. Somebody, we need a good mix of people who are at least 25 to 30 years old or older, who've got their head on straight, who have a good legal knowledge about what's really going on, like you described, Corey, about the affairs of the world. Somebody who's very strong-willed as far as self-determinism is involved and won't roll over if any type of authoritative attack comes to the land. Somebody who is able to take on, you know, complex mental tasks And then also we would need a mix of some youngins that really we don't rely or trust too much on, you know, detailed things that have to be done a certain way or patterns, or if the position requires them to have an extensive history knowledge of what's really happened over the past 100 years. Yeah, there might be exceptions, but typically those guys would be better used for other types of tasks and things like that. So do you agree with me that you probably would need a mix, and it would be nice to have a mix of different age ranges and capabilities?
Right. I mean, think of any sort of a scaled-down version of any functioning society, right? You need different people with different areas of expertise, ability, experience, technical experience. You need people to do heavy lifting. You need people to work. You need people who basically understand the vision, understand and can get on board with what you're trying to create, what's the benefits, what's the necessity. That would be, for me, that's the hardest thing that
I
run into.
It is, man. It's
very like,
hard.
Look, you know, I'm like, yeah, create a, you know, I almost end all my conversations, because almost all my conversations veer off into how crazy the fucking world is. That's another thing, too. I have very few normal, hi, how you doing conversations anymore. Whether I take it in that direction or someone else takes it in that direction, it inevitably goes to, wow, shit sure is kind of ratcheting up, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
You know? And so typically I end my conversations with, you know, get to know, you know, get closer to the people who are close to you, get to know your neighbors, grow a garden. And on the very, you know, on the very simple terms, and we can, you know, I talk with people, as there are people who are retirees here in particular. They have pensions, they have IRAs, they have monies that they've, or energy that has been transformed into dollar denominated assets, which represents their life work over time. And where is it? Who's holding it? What are you going to do? Have you thought that the idea that it could be worth 1/4, 1/10 of what it is now in a very short period of time? I know that's hard to believe because, well, today's like yesterday and tomorrow's just going to be like today. But at the same time, as I mentioned before, everybody's kind of like, there's some strange shit going on. Shit's ratcheting up. And so I'm trying to find that sweet spot with people, you know.
Let's do this. If you were to grow a community garden or do some simple project, I think that the level of just open, unabated interaction that you're having and describing with people is suffice to find enough people who are willing and committed enough and understand the vision to help that garden grow.
Absolutely.
That's right. And now, I just want to name some traits then and some pre-qualifications for our thing, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm looking for people who are highly skilled, highly specialized, highly motivated, and in return, the rewards will be very good. So it's not going to be like some other community where you come and you volunteer and you work and you give all your energy away for nothing. And you're like, oh, they're like, oh, namaste, thank you so much, blah, 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 see you, you know, safe travels, and you go on to the next one and give your fucking energy away.
Right.
My whole thing is, I'm going to purchase a large piece of property outright or however I need to do it. I'm getting most of the materials and everything donated to me already. I've got a lot of that set up already. Earth bag buildings. We'll talk about some of what I'm going into later. But the point is, I've got it ready to go. What I don't have is labor and volunteers. So this is what I'm suggesting: a pre-screening. If you don't know that 9/11 and all these other things are inside jobs and false flags, I'm sorry, you got to go. I don't have time to hold your hand and treat you like a small child in your learning process.
Right, that's what I wanted to say to you. Right.
Yeah, yeah, and then
about necessity.
Yeah, so that's pre-screening.
Spend energy at this point convincing people of
right.
the nature of reality. And I would go further to say that all you need to do is put it out there. You'll have people knocking down your door, bro.
Oh, I expect it. That's why I want to talk about this filtration process, because myself, I know firsthand what happens at a community. I've lived at the Garden of Eden in Kennedale for 3.5 years now. And at some point we had 12 people living there. At some point we had 5 kids running around there. At some point we had only 3 people there. Right. And I know what it takes and where things go south and where people grow resentments and where people struggle to get out because they have no vision or no direction because they're not really falling in line with the vision that's being held by the main person. And that's their issues. But I want to avoid having to even deal with all that. I want the community itself, the property, the technology, the so on and so forth, to be so easy, so simple, and so badass that it only takes one person, maybe a day out of their week, since nobody else wants to help, they go, oh, you know, I'm the owner of this property, which would be me. It doesn't take that much to go, you know, turn on the automatic watering or do this or do that since everybody else is on vacation. So my community basically is enlightened individuals. So the pre-screening would be there. You have to have certain qualities and levels of knowledge before you can get in there, period. Okay. Number two, you would have to put down some sort of security deposit, like a $500 to $1,000 deposit. If you're violent or if you damage some property or something happened, see ya, right? Number three, you'd have to sign some sort of basic general agreement or general interaction agreement or property agreement. While you're on these premises, you don't, you know, piss in somebody's cereal or go harass somebody or don't do this or violence or whatever the case may be. Obviously, we're not restricting free speech, whatever. And so they would sign that. And then number four, fourth qualification would be that they would have to have some sort of valuable skill, some type of contributive skill that they can do, whether that's earth bag building, whether they have a trailer they can bring so we can haul and load materials, what have you, right? And then the fifth thing that they have to be qualified or agree to is a 6-month period of volunteership. So what you would do by going to a community anyways, if you went to go find these other communities in the United States or wherever in the world, what you would be doing is volunteering and helping them build their structures and helping with their chickens and livestock and so on and so forth. What I'm saying is, yeah, you do that while you're here, but you have a 6-month period where you're basically getting a stipend value. Does that make sense? So during that 6-month period, you're getting a value ascribed to your work, and based on whatever value you have, you can decide to purchase an interest in that property and get your own little slice of land. And once you've completed your 6-month contract, and if you have the ability to do so, I'll sell you a slice of that land that's just yours. Understand? And it'll be like a pie set up. So there will be 12 or 6 slices or whatever it is, 6 slices of land for the individual houses that will be built on there. And if you do complete your 6-month contract honorably, there may be some other things involved, but basically that land is yours now, not the whole land, but that piece of land. You understand? You can build other stuff on it. You can do what you want. You don't have to work in the community anymore. But because nobody gives somebody a piece of land like that, nobody helps build somebody a house, this experiment really hasn't been done, Corey. My experiment is if you overwhelm somebody with badassness and then don't ask for anything in return and just do your own shit that's right there in the same area, they're going to want to come and be like, oh, yeah, how can I help? And because the technology in the property is so high grade, like solar hydrogen, solar water heater, solar this, blah, 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 all these different things are so easily maintainable by one person, I'm not really asking for these people's help other than the initial 6-month period of each resident. And what is being done during that period? We're improving the property. We're doing actual building maintenance. We're doing building and creating and expanding and water systems and so on and so forth. Or we're having little workshops that are being held where we're making a little bit of cash for operating capital, and these people are volunteering to either participate or lead the workshop. And then, you know, we're making leaves pressed into spoons and, plates and bowls and cups and, you know, baking spoons out of wheat and sorghum and molasses and shit like that. So we're actually producing products, and these people's work and value is being tallied, and they have the right to thereafter have their own little spot. Like, they can own that house. They no longer have to work at that property. That's my plan. So what do you think about that, maybe, and how would you see, once we've found the right people, How would you see any additional contracts that need to be made from there? What comes up for you hearing this quarter?
Well, I'll go back first to what you were describing about your experience with like small burgeoning communities and the issues that come up, right? I would say in your for lack of a better word, in your recruiting process or your vetting or interviewing process, to put that in there somewhere. Like, look, I know what can go wrong in these type of situations. And I'll include that into some kind of pledge or something like, look, this is the type of stuff that we're looking to do. These are our goals, our visions, and so forth. You create a system around that. You have goals. You put time frames. You look for working models that are similar to what you're doing. You look into what kind of financing would be necessary or what kind of sweat equity, all those kinds of things. But you also let folks know, this is what we're also looking to avoid. You make it very specific. Like, yeah, we know that communities can have these types of problems, so on, and so forth. Would you be willing to be mindful of these possibilities and to avoid any such type of behavior or refrain from any such type of behavior or activity that would lead to these problems? Be very specific with your concerns as well.
I totally agree with you, and some sort of incentive is either done through pain and shame, or it's done through genuine value and niceness. I've seen the pain and shame and domination.
I think only the latter. The former is a ruse.
That's what I was just saying. I've seen the former, and it just doesn't work in any case. It maintains a certain semblance of order during a temporary time period, but it breeds resentment. It breeds nastiness. It breeds, apathy, really, is the biggest thing I see in communities, apathy.
Well, it just, I'll give you an example, a quick example. There's a small grow operation near where I live, and I know all the people who run it and involved in it. And there's infighting between two personalities in there specifically that is corrupting the whole, shit's getting done. They're doing their thing, but there's personality conflicts between two individuals that has a demoralizing effect or a dissipative, wasteful effect on the spirits and energies of everybody else who's there.
Yeah, I want to segue real quick before you just had this huge insight. Thank you for granting me this sudden insight, which has happened, Corey, based on what you're saying. I just had a thought that I was already thinking to do a religious, not a religious, but a spiritual, like an eco-village ministry or a world permaculture ministry where you're basically a steward of the earth and for God. Mm-hmm. And so it qualifies as a nonprofit or tax-exempt organization. Well, that's my first thing. I want to be tax-exempt. I don't want to deal with property taxes. I want to buy that fucking thing and it's mine, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll go to court and do some legal processes to get the alloyal title and everything so nobody can ever take it. Mm-hmm. Put it in a trust, have that trust from this spiritual organization, whatever.
All right. But yeah, that's groundwork. That's real groundwork right there. Yes,
because it's that organization and it's a permaculture ministry, it will also be sort of like how they have the peyote churches and the cannabis churches out there in Arizona. Mm-hmm. They have a few CBD churches here in Texas and psychedelic churches as well. I gotta do some research on the laws, but I would do like a conflict resolution program as part of, it's a voluntary participatory program where people, when they have any type of infighting or personality conflicts, they would both sit down and take a micro dose of mushroom tea. No, I'm not talking about tripping your balls off, losing your ego, whatever, but taking a micro dose and then sitting down for a predetermined amount of time, like 30 minutes, and discussing the issues that they have with one another in a clear, emotionally open and sound way. And obviously there would need to be waivers and all sorts of different things signed. But I truly believe this is going to work because the actual science studies they're doing on mushroom therapy right now, they're doing it for violence, domestic violence. They're doing it for PTSD. They're doing it for addiction to other drugs. They're doing it for end of life fear and anxiety and all sorts of things is being helped by these mushroom studies. So if I could somehow, what you were describing to me brought this whole thing up in the first place, but if I could somehow have that as a, that would be the arbitration clause in their general agreement. Instead of going to arbitration, they would go to whatever we call it, mushroom therapy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it'd be some little tiny, beautiful place in the, on the part of the property where it's silent and moderated or by somebody, by myself or somebody else. And these people could, in secrecy and in privacy, they could talk about their stuff. And maybe something else like this, Corey. Tell me what you think about this when I'm done. What about, you remember how we said the latter always incentivized in, with instead of pain and suffering and shame with overwhelming kindness? Mm-hmm. So if you complete your six-month contract and you don't have any infractions, and an infraction would be one of these infighting things that causes harm to the community, and a third-party person of the community has to sign a sworn affidavit saying, I was affected either emotionally or mentally by this to this degree, this happened on this date, blah, 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 they'll give that to me or somebody that's impartial, and they'll look at it and go, okay, is there enough here to write up an infraction? And then that person will have their chance to speak and be like, oh, well, I did it because of this or that. And you'll be like, okay, well, this is a pattern. You know, we gotta give you this infraction. Try not to do it again. You got two more. Now, typically, if you get the third infraction, like at a work issue, you're fired. You're terminated. You're gone. You have nothing. You've lost all your value. So instead of doing that here, if they get that third infraction, they don't get to own their property. They would have to work another 4 or 5 months or something like that before they can own it free and clear. And during that time, if they wanted to stay, they would have to pay rent. And if they did something bad or something like that, or something small, I should say, if something smaller than that, something crazy like not completing your tasks or not doing your agreements or something, that type of infraction would be, oh, well, at the end of your 6 months, you take a certain percentage penalty off of what you would originally have. And so the full value of this house that we as a community that we've built on this slice of property here is, let's say, $10,000. And the value of your work you put in over the 6 months is $10,000. So now that you're done, you'd typically be able to buy that house outright. I'd convey the title to you, yada, yada, yada. You would have work hours or credits that you would use instead of money, right? But here's the thing. You would only have $8,000 of credit available to you if you had not completed your duties at some point and got a minor infraction. Does it make sense? Or if you got a major infraction, you have to wait a six-month waiting period before you can use those funds. And if you want to stay at the property still, then you're going to have to pay some sort of rent, like $100 a month somehow or something like that. And so by doing that, the person still has the opportunity to keep working and do whatever. And as well, once we start making money on the property, I'll be doing like a monthly stipend. Like if in our loans or whatever we get up front, we'll also include like a portion of this for this. If we get enough money up front, there's going to be a monthly thing for everybody, Corey. Like a monthly stipend. Like no matter if you're here, if you're working, if you're here for the whatever period that you're here, every month you get this stipend, right? Until you're either asked to fucking leave because you did something too horrible, or you leave on your own accord and you want to go somewhere else, you'll get the, like a $30 a month stipend or something, $50 a month or whatever it is. It's nominal, but it's cash money in your pocket. Now, a smart person will have saved that up. And so that person could then go, okay, well, I can pay $100 a month rent, or I can go try in the outside world, try to find a fucking single bedroom apartment where I have to A, pay for my electricity, B, pay for my water, C, pay for my rent, which is $700+ anywhere in Texas. Do you understand? So the incentive is still there for them to go, okay, I fucked up. Maybe I should get my act together so I can have this. And if they don't, see ya. Bye, Felicia. We don't want you anyway because you've proven you're not the person that we thought you were.
Yeah. Understand? And, you know, again, it's like it's the nature of government. You want people who can govern themselves and work mm-hmm. in a cooperative type of way where, you know, everyone is contributing and everyone is benefiting. And so, yeah, you know, there's got to be rules and regulations, and as you say, you know, certain you know, when certain boundaries are crossed, there needs to be some kind of way to address those things. I think there are also ways, and I would spend probably most of my more energy perhaps than might seem necessary in really developing a criteria and a protocol for who's coming in. You know, I mean, there's some great psychological tools, right, that people use, corporations and things like that, when they're hiring, for example, right? Organizations, when they're looking for certain people to participate in their organization, there's all kinds of good tools and questionnaires and processes and ways to be able to delve into the minds and the spirits and the souls of people who are perspectives for your community to really be able to ascertain, you know, nothing's 100%, but to really, you know, be able to ascertain who's coming in the door. And so then, you know, the type of remedial situations that you just mentioned, you'll lessen the necessity for those.
That's right. Well, that's the pre-screening is so necessary, and identifying what's working for the corporations and then taking it to the next level. So our screening would be first what you're describing exactly. All the little psychological questions and tricks of the trade to find out. Even if
who people are
on their best fake face and they're giving you the answer that they think that you want, you can always find out what they're doing.
Exactly.
So we'll do that. And then on top of that, you can essentially do the what I call the next level questions. Like, are you fucking woke enough? Like, is my dog more woke than you and therefore you're not a candidate? Or are you awoke? Like, are you awake? Do you know what's going on? Do you know about the Rothschilds? Do you know about the Archons? Do you know about Gnostics and Gnosticism? Do you know about the mystery schools? Do you understand that you are the source of power expressing itself in multiple different fractals? Certain levels of knowledge that you're just going to have before you can get here. Sorry, the way might be closed to some, but the ones that do make it will be able to make such a big change. So
yeah.
Let's do, we spent a lot of time on the social dynamics in a basic description. Let's do a quick recap, Corey, if you don't mind. And I'm really grateful that we're going to have to do this in a number of episodes or shows. And this is a series because it's just impossible to get everything out in one episode. Let's do a quick recap. We talked about an idea of building an actual community. We're using these radio shows for the next couple months. I'm going to be doing these and sparsing these in between guests. These discussions will be used to help look back and write up a formal plan once we acquire the land. Okay. Once we get that land, I have a plan of where I can screen out a few certain individuals who actually are committed to building a conscious community, sustainability, new technologies, individual liberty and freedom, and learning about the law and spreading community awareness and so on and so forth. I'm going to do that by having a religious organization or some sort of spiritual eco-ministry, which is tax-free. And then also, by doing that, I'm also going to look into the avenues of trying to have like a mushroom medicine or be like a peyote cactus or some sort of ayahuasca church, some type of thing like that, which then we would use or incorporate into our arbitration or dispute resolutions for intrapersonal issues that arise during communities. Also, we're going to have some sort of contract or general agreement that would account for some of the things that happen the most, based on what you've said in my experience. So that's a recap of what we've done here. Let's go to technologies real quick and get a little bit of that out on this episode, or building materials even. In previous episodes, Corey, we talked about Adobe, Earthbag Building, Super Adobe. It's basically stabilizing some sand and clay and some cement by mixing it in equal amounts or proper portions, putting some water in there, getting it mixed up real good, putting it in some bags, polypropylene bags, sort of like the plastic rice bags that you've seen that hold 15-pound bags of rice, and so on and so forth. Put those in there, tamp them down, put some rebar through them, have a good foundation, yada, yada, yada. And you've got a earthquake-proof, bomb-proof, waterproof, hurricane-proof, wind-proof, fire-proof abode or structure. And you can run a heated floor with PEX cable. You can run potable water, electricity, all sorts of things. Okay. Let's save an episode. Let's do one of these episodes just for the technology that we'll be using there. Okay. But I'm going to go over it briefly so we can move on to other stuff. And I want to let you talk a little bit about some other things. Okay. So just a quick rundown technology. We're going to burn all of our, we're going to recycle, of course, have a homemade forge. A forge is a very hot heating furnace, if you will. Have a forge and some other type of homemade built thing that we can recycle our own materials and make plastic nylon rope or whatever we do out of our plastics. Things that we can't recycle. Well, what do we do with those? Typically, what do landfills do? They bury or they burn their trash. Well, burying is super shitty. Anybody with a brain will tell you don't do that. So the other option is burning. Voice is going out in a second. Well, that's bad too. Noxious elements in the air. Check this out, Corey. If you burn with hydrogen gas that's produced from solar power hits water, separates the water into oxygen and hydrogen. You flow the hydrogen, the oxygen back into the atmosphere, thereby providing fresh oxygen. You flow the hydrogen into a combustion chamber, and you burn the trash with the hydrogen. The hydrogen burns everything out completely. There is nothing left, no toxic chemicals, nothing. That fire combustion completely burns it out, and the only thing left as a result is water vapor. So now you're putting fresh, clear, clean, molecular structured water right back into the atmosphere, and the water vapor is going out, and there is no burning fumes. And what have you done? You've also removed all that trash material, completely incinerated it. Okay.
And you could probably set that up to harness power from that burning.
Hey, look at that. That's exactly where we go next. So during that burning temperature and while we're burning with HHO, we can use a thermocouple, which is basically a hot rod or a coil, which takes the heat energy and transmutes it through a chip and a controller and turns it into electricity. Okay?
Or a steam turbine if you want to go lower tech.
That's right. That's right. And so some of that can be used to power the machinery that in the water tower that we're describing or the billboard or whatever we have on our property that gives free water. By the way, that tower is located outside the gate of the property, so anybody in the community at any time, whoever they are, member or not, will be able to get water. There will also be a community food forest, like a miniature permaculture orchard / food forest where people can get their vegetables there as well. Community garden that they're welcome to come help and assist with. And what is all that going to do? Well, I know we don't have a lot of time here, Corey, but what I'm looking to do is make a workshop village where people's houses are on the outside of the property in a secluded private area, which I find is not a concern that's really given a lot of attention in most communities. Like, you're right there with people, sleeping, living, eating, shitting, breathing in the same area constantly, and that's where the interpersonal shit comes up. People need their own fucking space at some point. Something they like to call or feel as if is their own. So that'll be done. And then in the center, we'll have a convention center. And around the convention center, connected perhaps, or whatever, we'll have these little workshop areas. So one of the workshops will be taking all the fresh harvested, all the fresh harvested produce that we're growing, and teaching people how to can. And so the people can take a can of food home with them, but they've really canned 10 jars while they've been there volunteering, and they paid $10 to come volunteer to learn how to do it. Not only did they get value, but then they also got physical value, and then we got 10 times the value. Word of mouth, customer, we also have 10 of our jars canned, right? And then on top of that, we use some of that canning in our vegan restaurant that's around the circle of the workshops. Not there yet, but I'm going there. So what's our next workshop? All the leaves and the corn husks and the shucked things and the vegetable matter will go to the next workshop where we make things out of that. We dry out the leaves and we make patterns and crafts and we make our own pressed bowls and cups and silverware and so on and so forth. There'll be wheat and other things that we can mill down and grind up and then bake into spoons and forks and knives as edible cutlery. You understand? And then we'll have the vegan restaurant, which will utilize all those eco-friendly materials and the canned produce and fresh produce, so on and so forth. and the Orchard and Food Forest would provide the juice for the juice bar that would be at the vegan, right next to the vegan or attached to it, vegan shop. And all of these workshops would be supporting each other, providing what the other one needs as far as materials. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so not only are these workshops producing valuable things that can be purchased, but they are also inclusive into community-oriented workshops where people can pay to come see it and learn how to do it or learn about it. And therefore, that money can be used to go into the stipend fund when we want to scale up our community or whatever we need to do. We can use that and pay bonuses. So here's another thing, and I'm going to let you talk after this. I know I've been, there's so much on my plate and my ideas are spewing out. Here's the other thing. Redemption. There will be certain activities or things that you can do for the community to help us so badass. You just did something so badass for us that if you have any infractions on your record at all, we'll take one of them or two of them or all of them off, depending on the level of badass. So there will be certain prescribed activities every month that people can volunteer for. So if you have any infractions and you're worried about that, all you got to do is spend 8 hours of your time as some sort of internal community service, fix the septic tank or some shitty job that nobody wants to do, and right. Boom, now you just earn your redemption. So cross-incentivizing and re-incentivizing and always making it available to save yourself by participating more, I think is the third part to the enforcement of interpersonal relationships and community government, if you will. What do you think about that, Corey? And anything else that comes up to mind after this? Because I'm passing my soapbox off to you.
Well, everybody does what they perceive as beneficial to them. Doesn't matter, in my view, doesn't matter what where along the political spectrum you are, what level of awareness you have, natural awareness, ecological awareness, whatever. Everyone is motivated by self-interest. Every living being, everything is motivated by self-interest. So if you can create and societies and communities seem to evolve, at least in part, except for those things that are just straight exploitive, war booty and slave, slave plantations. But basically, I think throughout most of human history, there's the competition and then there's cooperation. Okay, so you can cooperate and build something with other people, and you will get a individual benefit from doing so, or you can, raid other people who are doing so, ride down from the Highland steppes, and raid other people who are living in communities who are cooperating and steal their stuff. Those are the two ways you can go about it. And it seems like, there's plenty of examples of communities throughout history, all different sizes, and even in existence today. And that seems to be even on the table today in terms of debates around politics and, what our societies are supposed to look like. There's got to be a balance between, you have to acknowledge that everyone is looking out on some level for their own self-interest.
You got to be real with it, man. That's exactly what's going on. And it should be, because you can't help somebody unless you're really whole yourself. Then you're really giving something of value to the other person.
Exact. And some people will see the benefit, for themselves by benefiting a larger community or like a family. It benefits you to, if you have kids, to make sure that they're healthy and so on and so forth. I mean, it's clear. And that's, I think that's an easy sell, And I would say, the more programming that you can do beforehand, the more vision work and the more programming that you can do beforehand, even before actually getting a piece of land and so on and so forth. You know, the more that you can configure this thing.
I'm already working on a master blueprint.
It's one yeah, exactly. Story. Exactly.
So I'm having this blueprint, and it's basically covering everything from start to finish of what I think needs to be done. And then over the first three phases, so the one-year phases. Phase one, find the people, screen them, start the basic infrastructure to have a livable badass community area. Phase two, start working on the houses so everybody has those houses available. Phase three, work on the workshop village or during phase two, that will be part of it as well. And then phase four, I should say there's a fourth phase. Phase four is to expand. And what you're talking about is basically what I've already put together, but it's going to have to be tailored during those times or those phases. And then once we're ready to really expand and open up like a big convention center or get more property or sell this one or whatever we've done, at that point, then I'll be looking to do huge presentations and invite major people like David Wilcox and Corey Good, who Corey Good lives in Texas. He's a whistleblower, aliens and secret space program whistleblower. Metaphysical people, yoga retreats, all these people, invite them here for lower cost and more sustainable ways than any other retreat center in Texas or anywhere else, and that way we can get some revenue there. Then also, once we've successfully done these phases, we can actually put out like a finished product, like a phase one blueprint. This is what we thought it would take. This is what it actually took. Here's some example worksheets if you want to build your own community. This is everything you need to get started conceptually and physically, and it's $1,500 for the package, right? And so constantly recording and videotaping all of our community building projects that we're doing every day, whether it's just me out there swinging a fucking hammer or you know, everybody that's there that's coming to volunteer, constantly maximizing the use of our time by promoting videos and like, oh, buy this video. This is our such and such project. If you want to see how it's actually done, you know, and it comes with a lead sheet that says, we accomplished this on this day, records or notes, if you will. We accomplished this on this day and this and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. We ran into these problems, yada, yada, yada. And then sell that for, you know, that video for $100 or 150 or something. And yeah, all of those funds would be used for the stipends and scaling up and so on and so forth.
Right. And then also you do, you know, you could do subscription models.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do donation models. It pays to give shit away for free too. Right? That's right. Just like marketing. That's getting more people interested in your stuff. Here's a free video on, you know, on whatever of us doing this. You know, and you just, here, this is what we're doing. You could do it too. Put the information out there, get eyeballs on it, get interest. And then you can say, okay, if you want to go in on a deeper, you know, technical questions, or you want to go, you know, deeper into, you know, whatever process that you're into. Yeah, then you can provide like the next level. Okay, here's the deeper level of what we presented to you for free over here. And, you know, here's the requested donation.
Exactly. You know, what I envision actually is a marketing or a brand workshop. So basically we have a dedicated building, basically dedicated to using the natural resources and materials we have on the property to building some sort of brand item that could then be given away for free with a piece of paper and sent to somebody in low cost in the U.S. regular mail. And for the $3 cost it takes us to send this out to somebody who's expressed interest or wants a free gift or something, or maybe they pay the shipping cost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Here's a free decal and some information about what we've done, some facts and some stickers that we made or some whatever we made or a couple of spoons that we made.
I buy books like that. I buy books That's like right. that all the time. Just pay shipping.
And then those people, the cost of that it takes us, if they pay the shipping, the cost is nominal. We've literally made something with our time that will get that person emotionally invested to then go, oh yeah, I want to subscribe for a $50 a month subscription. So sure. Then just that one time of subscribing is more valuable than all the work that we did to produce 10 of the stickers or whatever we're giving away for free.
Sure.
And so, totally badass idea.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, it's all about value add, you know. You can always
value
get...
added. Yep.
Yeah, you can always get, if you're always able to add value to what you do or what you're offering, you're always going to get someone who's going to be willing to compensate you for each level of depth for the amount of work that you put into something, the value. Everyone's, you know, some people, you know, that's another thing too in a community like that, you know, it's not an automatic causal direct correlation necessarily, but, you know, people who tend to have certain valuable experiences and skills that might be beneficial to a community like that, some of them are likely going to have amassed some degree of financial wealth as well as a result of the work that they have done. Not necessarily, but you're also going to know that there are going to be, you know, there are going to be certain people who will recognize what you're doing as valuable and be able to come to the table with a varying degree of resources, whether they be financial or technical or knowledge base or what have you. You know, so consider so all those things too.
Here's what I envision. I think I'm actually going to put this on Steemit. We've talked about Steemit before. I think I'm going to start a weekly episode of Let's Build a Community of basically the work, the actual notes that I take, the plans, the, okay, these are the infraction lists, this is the general contract, the templates, everything that I'm creating from scratch. I'm going to put that on there, explain it, and ask for feedback in addition to doing this type of thing as well.
Yeah,
we're at the end of our time, Corey. Do you want to go ahead and wrap up with any thoughts that you had, anything like that?
Just one thing quick. There's lots of intentional communities out there that are popping up now and that have popped up and have a track record, you know, like the Amish, for example. You know, there's plenty of examples of people doing it out there. So it's like, you know, none of us or anyone who's looking to do this necessarily has to reinvent the wheel, because there's plenty of models of people who are doing it, have done it, and are continuing to do it. So, you know, just do some research and then you can customize it to your own vision or your own group's vision and so forth. So I, you know, not that difficult. Just slow and painstaking.
It's not difficult. You just have to be efficient. Mm-hmm. And I was gonna say, I see cryptocurrency and smart contracts making their way somewhere into this community to stand out from the rest.
Absolutely. That's a topic for another conversation, because, you know, if there's no internet, that makes it difficult.
true. All right. Well, I think this has been super productive. I cannot wait to do another one of these. In fact, let's just go ahead and say this. I've got a couple guests up in the air, either Apollo Wilson, who's a permaculture minister. He actually married me and my wife, Amy. And he does the ecological ministry consulting and goes out. He's traveling the nation right now, going to all these different eco-villages. So he would be the perfect person to ask. So I'm going to say this. We're going to do next week's show. It's going to be episode what should we call them? Session 2? Session 2 of Let's Build a Community. We're going to get a little bit more into the currency issues, the cryptocurrency stuff, the infrastructure, and then also hopefully have Apollo as a guest on top of that. And then after that show, the week after that, which would be the week after next, and the one after that, we will have a couple of very exciting guests. I don't want to spoil it or give it away, but you guys are really going to like those shows. I'll do all the requisite marketing on Facebook a day before so you guys know what's going on, and we'll just go from there. So excellent episode. Thank you so much for your contribution. You really sparked a lot of ideas in my mind, Corey, and I'm sure that once the listeners are aware that they can call in, maybe that'll be our third session or something, that we're going to learn a lot more than we think or that we haven't thought of, if you will.
Yeah, I think I think the timing is right. I think it's a useful conversation to have, and, you know, we could go on multiple episodes, you know, delving into this. So
why not? I mean, everything else is available for people. We've done psychedelics, we've done spirituality, we've done the nature of the soul, we've done the ego and the sacred self, we've done the permaculture and the organic gardening, we've done, what is it, sex and relationships and emotions, we've done the do not detain stuff, we've done the court things, we've done contracting, you
name
it.
We've bundled it all together. Yeah.
So let's, and how do we build a powerhouse or a safe, God, don't let me catch myself saying safe space, I'm about to slap myself. But a safe area, if you will, that breathe like a new renaissance area. I know there's like the Avalon and the Camelot projects, but those guys have been infested with Archons. They tried to remote view the Vatican and they didn't shield themselves, and those motherfuckers got taken over. And after that happened, their entire project fell apart completely.
Yeah, and they've had some.
They
bad
were supposedly
stuff.
In contact. They didn't tell anybody, Corey, but those guys were supposedly, could be completely off base, supposedly in contact with, either by channel or direct physical contact with higher dimensional entities, who then, once these people were corrupted, they were like, oh, you know, we're not going to interact with you anymore. We'll wait for you to fix this. So we're smart enough to not let that shit happen. We know about all the higher level orders of energetic manipulation and so on and so forth. So building this community, if we can get the land and get the right people, nothing else is standing in my way. Not the financing, not the you know, the materials, nothing. I know, not the know-how, I know how to do it. I've been studying for the past decade on how to do this. I've been living for the past 3.5 years in how to do this to a certain extent.
Yeah, the people is the most important, man.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap this episode up. It's been another live episode of Piercing the Veil. We'll see you next week with a session 2 of Let's Build a Community. And thank you so much, everybody, for your support and your listenership. We really appreciate you. And until next time, pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.